name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The first business for the apostles, after our Lord ascended into heaven, 40 days after Easter Sunday, was to elect a replacement apostle for Judas. Remember Judas. He was the newly ordained priest, you might say, who immediately betrayed his master. What made Judas go so bad? Before we look at what makes Matthias, his replacement, to be so good, what made Judas to be so bad? He was a worldly man, and he was a little on the dishonest side. He kept the common wallet. He had the money. He was the cash box. And he took a little bit here and a little bit there, and he never thought twice about it. And there were some other problems with him, too. One of the mystics says that our Lord sent Judas to see the Blessed Mother, see if she could do anything for him in a few days. And he was impervious even to the presence of Our Lady herself. So our Lord tolerated him all the way through. And it was just at Holy Week, the day before Palm Sunday, when Mary Magdalene, for the second time, anointed our Lord. And remember, she bought a vase of perfume that was worth thousands of dollars, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000. It was alabaster. It's full of the finest and the rarest ointment. And she broke the neck of the vase, and she poured it all over our Lord as he lay at table, because then they ate sort of like half leaning on a couch, and over his head, and then over his body, and over our Lord's feet. And the apostles immediately, led by Judas, complained. Why are they? That's a waste. We could have given that to the poor. Judas, of course, meant I would have taken my share first, because I'm a poor apostle. Well, our Lord defends Mary Magdalene, and he says, let her alone. She did what she could. In other words, she thinks in those terms. That's how she showed her love for me, because everyone's got a different way of proving their love for Christ. And furthermore, he says, what she has done will be said in praise for her throughout the whole world, wherever the gospel is preached. What this woman has done today will be said in praise for her. That was too much for Judas. You can imagine him thinking to himself, what, are you crazy? He had no idea of how our Lord thought. Now, he had spent 3 years with him, but he never really listened. And he never really understood. He just rejected everything that the Master, our Savior, had to teach. And so, in anger and frustration, he decides to get revenge. He thinks, well, at least to get some money out of it. He didn't do it for the money, but he didn't, at the beginning, reject the idea of the money either. But then when he saw what happened, he was full of a bitter sense of regret and terrible, biting remorse. Throws the money in the treasury of the temple, and the high priest refused to take it back, and they used that money to buy a burying field for strangers. This is all in the Passion of our Lord during Holy Week. And then he goes out and hangs himself. Well, St. Peter tells that story about him going out and hanging himself out of terrible demonic despair as they gather in the upper room where our Blessed Mother is too, the other disciples, to elect a successor. Because it was very important. There were 12 tribes of Israel. It was very important that there should be exactly 12 apostles. Only the number will be increased shortly in a couple of years to 13, because there'll be Paul, and he'll be sort of a mystical super apostle. But that's another way of counting. So they've got to have 12, so that's the first business they do. And then I think after that, that's when St. Peter offers the first Mass, because our Lord has left the earth, and now the Mass had to be said to bring our Lord back down to earth, as it were. But before they did anything else, they had to have an election. And well, they weren't voting. Nobody was voting, but they were simply, you might say, drawing straws, casting lots. In other words, God will decide who should be. And there's a man put forward. They weren't candidates. They didn't They didn't have, like, you know, vote for Matthias or something like that. No, no. They were chosen by the apostle, St. Peter. And the first one had the nickname of being the just man. And Matthias was just Matthias. Nothing else is said about him, just Matthias. But the Holy Ghost chose Matthias and not Joseph Barsabbas. Matthias would be then the 13th apostle. We have that story in the epistle today from the Acts of the Apostles. More than that, we don't know. There are many, many stories about Matthias, and there are a few quotes that some of the saints say are reliable, that our Lord, that he actually said these words. And he went up to what is today around the Caucasian area, the Caspian Sea, the Republic of Georgia, near to Armenia. Maybe he preached there. Others say that he preached to cannibals in Ethiopia. There are many conflicting reports. But St. Clement of Alexandria says, he used to say, let us not exalt the flesh, but let us rather humble the flesh and exalt the spirit by prayer and faith, practice of virtue. And I always think to myself, well, now he's a good saint to go with us for Lent. And as it happens, he comes just a few days before Lent. Why is he a good saint? He practices humility, but he has an eye on regular acts of penance. You've got to do that as well. He practices humility. How is that? He doesn't put himself forward. He's not campaigning. In a very humble way, he's chosen. He doesn't refuse the honor. He simply accepts it because it is obviously God's will. He's a humble man. And the church honors his humility, you might say, because he comes at the last. You know, there used to be a little rhyme that we learned in Catholic grade school to learn the names of the 12 apostles. And the last phrase of it is, and last of all, Matthias. He came last of all, and he didn't mind in the least because he was a humble man. Wherever he went, whatever he did, they say he was finally killed with an axe, which is his symbol. He did it all for the love of Almighty God, and not for any self-glory. But we also have to remember the other part, that we shouldn't exalt the flesh. And the works of the flesh are not only eating and drinking, but the works of the flesh are publicity and getting a good name for ourselves and being comfortable, and you name it, it's a long list. During Lent, we should look at some of those things in our own life in order to practice humility that way, which would be very pleasing to our Lord and would be a true imitation of the Virgin Mary. You might say that Matthias, in that sense, is a true anti-Judas. Judas had his worldly approach, and he wanted power, and he wanted glitz and glamour and convenience and money. And that's why he attached himself to our Lord. And our Lord had no interest in any of those things. And when finally, the day before Palm Sunday, he realized it was so, he resolved he would betray Christ, sell him for 30 pieces of silver. And that's exactly what we do, isn't it? For some miserable little nothing, we sell our Lord, and we sell him short when we sin. But Lent's our time to make up for all of that. Last thought of humility. When you sin, don't throw that away. Well, you throw away your sins in the confessional, of course, and by true contrition, but keep the humility of it. And never be impatient with yourself in your many, many falls. Keep the humility of it. Say to yourself, if there's no other way I can be humble in my life, dear Lord, please accept the humility I feel right now, because I can't even resist this miserable little temptation, some stupid little bauble, some silly little honor, or my will in some small matter. Can't even do that. Well, be humble about it at least, and then practice some good old-fashioned penance of the flesh, and you'll do just fine for a good Lent. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.